phonograph recording keeps advancing steadily as modern engineering skill brings to it the latest developments in sound reproduction. Revolving discs, almost 25 million produced in this country alone last year, electrically engraved with the world's finest entertainment, an expression of modern-day invention worth looking into. Let's look in on the noted bandleader Duke Ellington as he prepares for a recording, working toward that accurate balancing of musical tones required for effective reproduction.
Wait a minute now, fellas. Look, this is an express train. Now, this is not a freight train. Now, come on, give it to me with that, you know, that express train effect. Clear up that whistle. Let me hear that whistle in the saxes once more. Ready? That's right. Yeah, that's more like it. Now, come on. Right to the top. Ready?
In the monitor booth, the sound technician listens to the rehearsal through a loudspeaker and, in cooperation with Maestro Ellington, brings the music to its highest sound perfection before transmitting it through the electrical circuits to the recording machines. Preparations for the recording process begin. A disc, a celluloid-like substance revolving on the turntable, gets ready to receive its musical impressions. The recording stylus is lowered into position to inscribe its musical message, waiting now to be galvanized into action by the electrical vibration produced by Ellington's music. And the signal goes out already. Constant check is kept to see that the mechanical equipment is running perfectly. A slight mishap in this part of the process would mean a costly waste. Chapter 2 begins in the factory, as our lacquer disc, now carrying its full musical story, goes into the bath for a careful cleansing. Next, it is treated to a silver solution, causing a very thin film of silver to form on the surface of the disc. The silver film acting as an electrical conductor, the disc now goes into an electroplating bath. As the electric current passes through the copper solution, it transfers the metal from this plate, called the anode, to the surface of the disc. After several hours immersion, the copper coating becomes thick enough to handle. This new platter is now carefully stripped from the original recording, giving us a copper and silver reproduction, which is known as the master record. Now follows a series of painstaking inspections, further electroplating, and other mechanical processes. Finally, there is evolved an extremely durable reproduction of the master, with a nickel-plated surface, this being known as the stamper. In the press room, two stampers are placed in a press, one for each side of a double-faced record. Following the insertion of the descriptive label comes the final operation. A special plastic material, just the right amount for one record, is pressed into place. As the mold closes, heat and pressure force this material into every convolution of the stamper. The result, a playing record ready for use. A flawless reproduction of the human performance in the recording studio.
When I'm in the mood for love, you're the one I'm thinking of. Oh, babe, maybe some. And when I take you by the hand and lead you to the preacher man. Oh, babe, maybe some. I'm gonna wait, anticipate that grand sensation. And if you see you kissing me, it's just my imagination. When I dream of you. Do I dream, I do, I do. Oh, babe, maybe someday.
Thank you. Well, hello, this is DJ Frederick, and you are tuned to the Radio Thrift Shop. Right here on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London, and online at classicalwscs.org. And we're cruising up and down the dusty aisles of music every Saturday evening from 10 p.m. until the witching hour. Well, we started off today's program with a little documentary about record making, 78 to be precise, with Duke Ellington. Then we heard Duke Ellington and the Juan Pennell Trio from 1929, version of Caravan. And then finally, Jimmy Forrest, featuring Grant Green on guitar, and his version of Caravan. I just want to say thank you for jumping on to the musical caravan here as we take a journey on the esoteric side of radio.
Get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. She'll find the note I left hanging on her door. She'll laugh when she reads the part that says I'm leaving, 'cause I've left that girl so many times before. By the time I make Albuquerque, she'll be working. She'll probably stop at lunch and give me a call. But she'll just hear that phone keep on ringing off the wall. That's all. By the time I make Oklahoma, she'll be sleeping. She'll turn softly, call my name out low, and she'll cry just to think I'd really leave her. Though time and time I've tried to tell her so, she just didn't know I would really go.
Walk into a forest and you're struck by the beauty and intricacy of the ecosystem, but there's an unseen world beneath your feet that's just as complex. I'm Jim Mitzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet.
The complexity of what's going on under the ground in terms of this enormous network of fungal mycelia and roots and their interrelationships, it's almost incomprehensible how complex it is.
David Work is former president of the Mid-Hudson Mycological Association. The mycelia he's speaking of are the thread-like tubes that branch out from mushrooms and other fungi underground.
Many of the mycelia in the forest form relationships with the roots of plants and trees, and they form a symbiotic relationship with the tree or plant. The tree will actually supply the fungus with carbohydrates, and the fungus will supply the tree with minerals and moisture. If you are planning to go out to look for a specific type of mushroom, the first thing you need to do is to learn your trees. Specific fungi have relationships with specific trees. When you get to know fungi, you're also getting to know the whole forest. Different mushrooms prefer different environments. If I'm looking for morel mushrooms, I'm going to be looking for old orchards or dying elm trees. A lot of those elm trees might be along the side of farmers' fields.
We'll hear more on mushroom hunting in future programs. Pulse of the Planet is made possible in part by Virginia Tech, inventing the future through a hands-on approach to education and research.
This is the Radio Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick. Analog culture for a digital world. Thank you.
money and I pay someone else to make the orchestration.
Wonderful composition by Mike Oldfield from his album, 5 Miles Out. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop. This is DJ Frederick, and I'm coming to you over WSCS 90.9 FM in New London, and also online at classicalwscs.org. That's Classical WSCS, We're Sunapee's Classical Station.org. I'm here every Saturday evening from 10 p.m. until midnight, following Chip Colkard's Out of the Woods. And that is a hard act to follow. Some of the best folk and acoustic music you're going to hear anywhere on your radio dial. I'll be right back with Cabin Music by Brundlefly and the Swede right after this.
When Les Paul almost lost his left arm in a terrible car accident, he got his priorities in order real quick.
Where there's heaven, how high are the moon?
You're on The Soundbeat.
There's no moon above, love is far away too. Take me to the moon.
till it comes true that you love me, yes, I love you.
After the 1948 accident, one that would keep him in the hospital for almost a year, doctors nearly amputated Les Paul's left arm. Good thing he got a second opinion. That doctor said, he's not driving a hay rack, he's a great guitarist. We're gonna save it if we can. And save it they did, with only one catch. Whatever angle they set his arm, it would remain that way permanently. In true rock and roll fashion, Paul asked them to set it at just below a right angle, so he could keep on playing guitar. You've been listening to Les and his wife Mary Ford from 1951. How'd Paul influence a mop-topped group of musicians from Liverpool, England? Find out at soundbeat.org. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Library. I'm Brett Barry. Thank you.
Rundlefly and the Swede. And that's called Side B, and that's from their cassette, LP, and compact disc release, Cabin Music. This is DJ Frederick. Thank you for listening to the Radio Thrift Shop. Cruising up and down the dusty aisles of music, taking you on an amazing musical journey in today's of futures past.